This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, May 23. Until after 11 o'clock in the morning, once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day as we entertain a group who's not here, actually. I'm hoping that they're downstairs. I sent Aaron downstairs and said, Aaron, I was supposed to have guests and you were talking long, man. Go and pick up my people then. They're supposed to be downstairs, the Bahamas Road Masters, and they're having a Midnight Madness run. Right? And that Midnight Madness run is going to be on June 7th on 2024. So I'm going to ask them, who's run at night? I mean, who is run at night when it's dark? Right? Then you say, well, most runners, you'll see them early in the morning. But this is not early in the morning, not 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, but this is at midnight. But they're actually doing a special run, a run for charity. And I'll have my guests, you bring people, Aaron? Yes, and they come straight inside, and they will explain to me why they have decided to run during the night, right? And how they're going to protect people with their flashlights and their reflectors, and go in detail about that. And in studio, we have two representatives from Bahamas Road Masters, right? And they'll go in detail about what is this charity they're doing this particular run for. Right? Let me fix your mic there. I'm coming over. 1 minute for me, listeners. There you go. And we'll go in detail of that. But just introduce yourself. What is Bahamas Road Masters? And then tell me about your event that is coming up on June 7th. And then we can talk about the charity that you're doing this for. Good? I see everyone's looking through their phone for their notes. Right? Good. But just tell me your name. We go off of the name. Yeah, I'm asking you to your phone. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My name is Siobhan Moore, and I'm the newly elected president for Bahamas Road Masters Running Club. This morning, I have joining me one of our former presidents, Charles Johnson. So, as you say, we'll be speaking about Midnight Madness, why we run in the night, our charity, and educate the public on distance running overall and our club.
So let's go with the club. Tell me about the club. How long you've been in existence? You tell you're the current president. Give me the names of the executive board so I just understand why do Bahamians run?
Okay, so our executive board is, of course, myself, president. Our vice president is Kendrick Stubbs. Our treasurer is Tamika Watson. Assistant treasurer is Dave Smith. Our secretary is Raja Smith. And our assistant secretary is Cassandra Smith. Those are the people who make up the Bahamas Road Masters executive team. But of course, the club itself is made up of a variety of personalities from all walks of life in the Bahamas. And Mr. Johnson is one of the people who make up our club.
Mr. Johnson, you still run?
Yes, I do. My name is Charles Johnson, as the president said. And I do run. I run 12 miles this morning. And
this morning? Yes. Why? Are you so vibrant? Are you tired?
Well, no, man. It's you know, you got accustomed to it. And
why 12? I know 3.5K, 5K. Right now,
hold on.
Run from home to good midday and back.
You don't train for a 5K.
No, what I'm saying. Well,
5K, you get out there and you just do it.
I mean, I had to train the foot, though.
Yeah. No, we challenge ourselves, and as Sire, the president, would tell you, the club is currently preparing to run a marathon in Rio de Janeiro next week, Sunday the 2nd.
The whole club?
A group of people from the club. A number of persons from the club. I think it's probably about 15 of us going to
Correct.
Rio. Some of them will do the full and some will do the half. I'm one of those who are going to do the full marathon, 42K, 26.2 miles. So it is necessary to run these distances to at least have a chance of completing the race. And, you know, it's something that we do. So it's not unusual for members of the club to go out in the morning at 4:35 o'clock in the morning and run 12, 15, 16, 20 miles.
So how does one become a member of a running club? Now, how many running clubs in the Bahamas? I assume you compete against different clubs?
Well, not necessarily. As far as I am aware, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, the Bahamas Roadmasters is the only formalized running club. So Charles, you could correct me on that.
Yeah, Bahamas Roadmasters was formed back in 1990. So you can see we've been around for a very long time. We have consistency. It's not very difficult to become a member. We encourage persons to join us. And it's simply, you can go online, fill out an application form, submit it to the administration, and there's no chance of us saying no to you. We want to get you in there and just encourage you. And
so what does being a member involves? Okay, I sign up, you know, I come to the president, Madam President, I want to be a part of you all.
Yes.
And what is my responsibilities and duties?
Well, the first thing is you're going to come in, because we have runners at different levels, you're going to find some body or groups in the club that you're going to be comfortable training with. We will provide guidance. We will give you tips. We're not experts in running either, because we are learning as we go. Fortunately for a lot of us, we have developed a lot of experience by running marathons all around the world. So I think cumulatively, there is a wealth of knowledge among the members. But we take persons, and we find where they are, and we encourage them. And we show them how they can run from 1 mile to 3 miles to 5 miles to 10 miles to 26 miles. That's how we all started, and I can promise you, Howard, if you put on your tennis shoe next week, in 6 weeks we can have you running at least 6 miles.
I smile because you call me Howard. I know Howard don't run. I might do some walking, but Howard don't run.
I smile because you don't know why people is run at night.
I know, I can get to that.
Because the bus stopped running.
Then they have no other choice but to run it. Yeah. But okay, so I join your club. What is the steps? Like, say, I'm a grade A runner, grade B runner, grade C runner. What's that?
Okay. I think generally it depends on you at your level.
I'm a beginner. I just started. It's me.
Okay.
My heavy body. And I said, let me come.
And that's fine. And that's fine. And as I usually tell people, when you have a desire to run, anyone can run. Anyone can run a marathon. Anyone can run a 5K, 10K. You can do it. It's up to you as an individual that this is a goal that I've set for myself. So you have this goal in mind and you decide, I want to join Bahamas Roadmasters. So you, like Charles Johnson said, you complete your application, we vet it, you're in the club. We're going to align you with somebody who's running at your level. So I won't say a coach, because as Charles mentioned, we're not experts, but collectively, there's a wealth of knowledge in the club, because we've had people who've been running since the club has been formed, since 1990. That's 33 years almost. So we'll try and pair you with somebody who's at your level. You may decide that I want to do extra stuff on my own so that I can become strong enough to run. Some people in the club, on their off, using that term loosely, on their off days, they may decide that I want to do some gym supplemental workouts. So I may want to go to the gym, or I want to do some strength training. I want to do something else along with my running. And all of this collectively helps to improve your running, you know, as an individual. So you get into the club and we pair you with somebody. You then decide whether or not I want to start off running a half marathon or a full marathon. And again, there'll be people there to guide you through the steps as to how am I going to get from 0 to 26.2 miles. So it may sound overwhelming, but it's not really. I've always been a runner. I've already done 5 full marathons, and I'm at the lower end of the spectrum when it comes to some of these folks in the club, because some of them have done multiple marathons. People may look at them and go, wow, what? A whole marathon, all 26.2 miles. I can't run. And so I usually say to people, I say, you can start by running from one lamppost to the next. You would be amazed at how quickly you get from one lamppost to the next to 26.2 miles.
So how do I get to travel? Because I see you all going abroad and stuff to run. And like I say, I want to join the club, but I want to take advantage of all these opportunities. Like, is there a set schedule or like a list of things that these are things you can accomplish or these are things the club is trying to accomplish and you can join us in doing these things?
Well, I think the first thing is a lot of us started traveling early in our running career because we find that it's an opportunity to gain motivation. You know, running locally, the group of runners are relatively small. But when you go into some of the larger marathons, I mean, as near as Miami, Miami has an annual marathon in February that attracts anywhere between 30 and 35,000 persons. And you begin to see that person's age is not a matter of, is not an issue. Persons running with injuries, you know, persons of different sizes and weight class is running. So I think there, you know, you begin to see that there is an opportunity to, you get motivated because you see such a broad spectrum of persons who are running. Most of us in the club have aligned ourselves with marathon tours, which is an international running group. And there is a schedule of international runs. I mean, there are hundreds of them. And you can go online and you can identify a run that you so wish to run and register through them. Or in many instances, you can register directly with some of the running clubs anywhere in the world. A number of members in the club took the route of becoming members of marathon tours and really pursued running the six major marathons. And in the club, we have about six members now who have run the six major marathons, and they are New York, Boston, London, Berlin, Japan, and
Tokyo.
And Tokyo.
And let's don't forget, we have one runner in our club who has not only done the six world majors, but has done it twice.
Twice.
Yes.
But how does one finance this? Does the club say, well,
no,
come and collect money?
No.
No.
No self-out?
It's self-financed. And I think it's because runners are a unique group of persons. And I think once you get into it, you know, it's beneficial for you health-wise. So I always say that the money that you spend on running certainly is far less than what you would probably spend for healthcare.
Otherwise, how many pairs of shoes do you go through in a running season?
A serious runner is going to put on, I do it by miles in training. So usually 300 miles per shoe, then you want to put it aside because your shoe has to be in good condition in order to
protect.
Avoid injuries to your joints. And 300 miles is not a lot for training because most runners in the club, for example, how we are training for Rio, can run up to 40 miles per week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're running through a couple of pairs of running shoe.
Every 2 or 3 months.
Exactly.
Right. So,
exactly.
So what happens, yes. What you find happening is that most runners have their shoes on rotation. Mm. So I'm not only on rotation, but you have different, you would have different running shoes for different running, I don't know what you call them, not styles, but for example, if I'm doing a speed work, I would have tennis that I'm using for speed work. Usually they're lighter tennis.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing a long run, your long run tennis, you want to have a pair of sneakers that have more cushion, that they're more comfortable to take you the long route. You may have recovery tennis. Now, not every runner may have a tennis shoe rotation, but for the very serious runners, you'll find that they have race day tennis. And these tennis aren't inexpensive at all because you can spend close to $300 on a pair of tennis.
I'm about to ask, does the Roadmasters, Bahamas Roadmasters group, are you affiliated with any companies that produce tennis or companies that sponsor runners and connect them to tennis and shoe producers?
Good idea, but we're not at the moment. You know, we do purchase tennis. Some of the leading tennis providers, Nike, New Balance, they are some of the companies that produce the type of tennis that Sayo is alluding to. And as she rightly said, you know, if you're running on the sand, on the beach, that's not the tennis shoe you will run on the road. So you have to switch out your tennis shoe depending on the surface that you are running. And these are some of the tips and points we will share with our members as they come into the club, because they would not necessarily know this coming in. You will find currently persons who are not a part of the club may be running the same tennis they run the beach and they run the road in. Well, you know, you're probably not getting the kind of support that you probably need on the road. And this is why persons suffer injuries. So if you begin to wear the right clothing, the right tennis shoe, we also talk a bit about supplements, things that I take, you take, the other person take, what works for you, what works for the other person. And all of these are necessary to get the maximum result from your running. Nowadays, hydration is key. For instance, it's very warm to train, to run. And we try to reinforce the need to properly hydrate. You know, when you're going out there on a Saturday morning to run 15 miles, you have to hydrate properly. Unfortunately for us, we have not had any incidences among our runners where persons, you know, would have fainted or anything of that sort. And I think it's because we share information. We encourage them to do the right thing.
So let's talk about
Just before you go there, because my brain is run faster than my mouth sometimes. I just am dreaming of a fierce competition between Atlantis, Bahama, and The Point on who is going to be the first sponsor of Bahamas Roadmasters Club and facilitate an agreement with a major shoe producer, because who wouldn't want to be the sponsor of Bahamas Roadmaster Club?
Sound like we should bring you on as our marketing coordinator.
I think so.
Once all I could do is run my mouth, I could.
June 7th is a big day. It's a Midnight Madness Run.
Yes.
What is Midnight Madness Run? And how is the Bahamas Roadmasters coordinating all that or hosting this event?
Okay, so the Midnight Madness Run, we started, I think, 9 years ago. I think next year it'd be our 10th year.
2015,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Actually, it started out as a fun run, and we identified a charity that we would donate to once we, you know, during that time. What we're doing now is we're taking it back again to being a family fun event, where you can bring out your kids, you can bring out your youth groups from church, you can bring your grandkids if they're up, tell them they're going to Junkanoo or liken it to Junkanoo, and come out and we walk or run the Cable Beach Strip. The idea is, again, we're raising funds for charity, and the charity is the Megan Louise Sands Ostomy Foundation, and that is the charity that would benefit from our run this year. Part proceeds from the race will go toward that charity. As you know, we also have another big race later on in the year, but for now, Midnight Madness is scheduled for 12:01 a.m. on Friday.
12 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. 12:01 a.m. It starts and ends at Goodman's Bay, and the route is an easy route. The 5K will take you just past Malia Hotel and back to Goodman's Bay. And the 10K will take you just shy of, I think, Super Value and back to Goodman's Bay. And once you get back to Goodman's Bay, of course, it's a party. We have fun. You have eats.
You know, you got to explain what party is. Because my party is south.
We have sauce as well. At least in the past, we've had sauce.
You say party. That's why I said my party is south.
You're going to have something. Okay. I tell you what to do is you sign up. You go online and you sign up.
How much is
to
sign up?
$20. You can go.
Oh, that's nice. That's
yes. Yeah. You can go online at active.com or you can go on our website and you can find the registration form. We also have a registration.
What's your website? You got to go step by step.
Bahamas.
You go online and do what?
So you can go online to active.com.
Active.com.
Right. And you can register. You pay by using your credit card. And the beauty about Active is once you register with Active, your email is always there. So if there's another race, your email will be there for you to register again for some other race in the future.
Okay.
But for now, you go online to Active, you register, and you come out and you join us.
Okay. Any other way to register before I...
Right. So this Saturday and next Saturday, we'll have registration drives at Sports Center, Harbor Bay, and Sandyport. We had a registration drive on Saturday past at both locations. So again, for the next two Saturdays, we'll have a registration drive. That's when you come and you fill out your paper application.
Hey, get a shirt.
It's a fun run.
So okay, just ask them. I know, but I get my sauce and I get my shirts and I'm going to fry it.
But listen, this is a fun run.
Okay.
You may not get a shirt, but mm-hmm. I can guarantee you there are some very interesting prizes that will be given
away.
You will get a prize. There'll be a raffle at the end of the race. So once you show up at Goodman's Bay, you get a raffle ticket. There will be prizes and surprises.
So just re-registering to show up, I get.
You won't be guaranteed, but if your ticket is pulled, yes.
I get a ticket.
Yes.
Okay.
So you come out, and like I say, you can bring your family, bring your wife and kids, bring everybody. Let's make it a family fun event. And the other good thing about it is we are encouraging people, if you want to, okay, 12:01, that's kind of late. I already in my bed. Get out of bed and put on your PJs or come in your PJs. Put on your funny hat. Just get out there. Let's walk.
Let's talk about the preparation and what to expect when I come out there at 12. Or at least you have to come in like 11:38.
11:30, so you can have an opportunity to warm up. The race will start exactly at 12:01.
Should I put the Tiger Balm on before I start running or after I start running?
You could put it on after you... See, listen to this.
You better put it on first.
But not only that, what another great thing about this run is that it's a holiday. So it's Labor Day holiday, so you finished running. You got your exercise in very early. Mm-hmm. Now you can go home and relax. No need to come out anymore for the day if you don't want to.
You better watch the parade.
But well, if you want to watch the parade, then you could go from there to the parade.
There you go. So, okay, I'm out here at 11:30. Walk me through what's happening now so people can anticipate what's going to happen. It's 11:30.
Well,
I'm already registered, pre-registered.
Right.
I'm assuming if those people who didn't pre-register can register if they come early?
Well, providing they can register in time for the race to start.
So come early if you want to do that.
One, because one of the things we prize it with distance running totally is time.
Mm-hmm.
The race will start
exactly
at 12:01.
Yeah.
And the route will take you west. The police have already been engaged and they will be present. They will provide security for the route to make sure that the patrons, participants are safe on the street. And there will be volunteers who will direct the persons participating so that they would know exactly where to turn and how far to go. We will set up water stations, and water would be available so that persons can hydrate. And they will then return at the appropriate turning point back to Fish Fry.
Goodman's Bay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But a dark outside.
What
you do for the darkness?
Well, you know, that's the beauty of the event, because we will be providing
glows
and lights, and so persons are going to be walking and running lit up. So
you'll be light up.
Yeah.
Just something like a ghost come out there and just watch it.
We want you to come. We want you to participate.
Yeah, I understand.
But there would probably be some spectators because it's going to be a fun thing. Mm-hmm. You know?
So what we ask folks to do is wear your lights. If you don't have a light, we will provide glow sticks for you. Glow sticks that you wear around your neck, around your wrist, what have you. So it's colorful. It's fun. The aim is to light up the Cable Beach Strip. We also ask people, if you have your own lights, you can bring your own lights. You can bring your illuminated vests or what have you. But we ask that you bring your stuff. But if you don't have it, don't let that stop you.
Still come.
And we'll make sure that you have a glow stick. You'll be seeing, as Charles said, we'll have police presence. So you're gonna feel safe. And just come out and have a good time.
I'm excited.
So another thing that we may not have touched on, though, is that you had asked earlier about with regards to how things are done for this race. So we have sponsors that that help us along the way. This year, our sponsors are Global Insurance, and Global Insurance has been a major sponsor for both our races, Bahamas Half as well as Midnight Madness. And so we have to give kudos out to Tina Lightborn. She has been phenomenal with assisting our group. And our second sponsor is Caribbean Bottling. So Caribbean Bottling provides us with all the hydration that we need during the race. And again, they've been a huge sponsor of us for...
From the beginning.
Yes.
In fact, Caribbean Bottling, I think they sponsored Bahamas Half from day one.
From day one, for many years.
Yeah.
So kudos out to Tina Lightburn and Global Insurance and Caribbean Bottling Company.
Yeah, without the sponsors, we just cannot pull these races off. Because quite frankly, the registration of 20 bucks is not going to cover the cost. So we do need major sponsors. And in fact, those listening who may be interested in sponsoring any of the events relating to Bahamas Half, we will certainly entertain a call from them. And because we do have bigger and better things planned in the future and want to continue to encourage the general public to run.
I have a texter here. It's not me. I didn't make this up. They asked, do we have to run? Because you all sound like serious runners.
Can I walk? Okay.
Yes, you can. It's fun. It's fun.
Walk.
We don't
fun
want to discourage walk. Anyone by saying, oh, it's a very serious run and you have to run. No. Come out. You can walk. Imagine that, walking under the stars.
Let's talk about this charity, because I'm not familiar with this particular one. Or what the name of it again?
It's called the Megan Louise Sands Ostomy Foundation.
That's the thing with the bag?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, so,
and mind you, I've heard about various cancers and whatever it is. So this is it's nice to hear that you're getting one of those ones that are not typically mentioned.
Right. So the aim is to, while we have contributed to a lot of charities over the years, the AIDS Foundation, Sister, we try to look for a charity also where, you know, it may not be well known, but we know that there are people out there who's doing something positive. And the whole idea of the foundation is to provide folks with the necessary equipment that they need. And, you know, they want to work over the length and breadth of the Bahamas to make sure that people live a quality of life that is, you know, it's decent.
Comparable to everybody else.
Right.
Right? And people shouldn't be, because of a disability, because essentially that's what it results in, right? That you are disabled and you can't move in your body the same and with your body the same way others can. And with this particular issue, this is a resource-dependent issue. You need to have the right equipment. You need to have the right bags.
That's correct.
You need to be able to store them in the correct environment so the bags remain sterile, right? And so it's great to see attention diverted to this organization.
Let's talk contact. How do I get in contact with you? If I'm interested in running, I know you have a registration at different spots, but I want to call and get information about First Year Club, right? And I want to call and get information about, hey, I want to be a future sponsor. I want to be a part of this event that morning, right? Who do I call?
Okay, so there is a website, and our website is BahamasRoadmasters@gmail.com. Oh, sorry, BahamasRoadmasters@gmail.com is our email, or BahamasRoadmasters.com is our website. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Can I send my children?
Generally, the club doesn't have children. When you say children, minors.
What age?
As soon as they could start running.
you should.
We don't have.
If I accompany them, can they participate
in this event?
Yes. Yes.
Or as a member of the club, if I become a member, can my 15, 16-year-old children join as well?
My track star.
I think we will certainly accommodate them. We don't have like a junior program as such, but I do know that we have, what has happened in Bahamas Half, for example, we've had a number of students from the College of the Bahamas.
Because Mungo's has a wonderful cross-country team.
Exactly, yeah. And one or two of the high school have participated. And there's a young man who ran in the last games here, who ran the distance, I think the 1500,
mm-hmm.
who has run in the Bahamas Half Marathon.
Okay.
And he has done extremely well regionally as a result. And I would think Bahamas Half would have probably been where he was discovered. So we do encourage young athletes and not so young, I mean, or if you are interested in distance running, come and talk to us. And there are enough of us out there who would take the time to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of family islanders once they are sort of settled in New Providence? Do you have a lot of family islanders join the club?
We haven't seen that trend either. Mm-hmm. But I think as we talk publicly about it. If there are any individual out there who are interested, they should contact the club, and I'm sure the executive will find a way to work with them.
Now, we do know that when we have our major races, it's more, I would say, more leaning more toward Bahamas half, that we do have folks from Grand Bahama and maybe one or two other islands who would register for that race.
I find culturally, family islanders, and men in particular, find them running like Montague and stuff, and they say, well, I used to run all the time when I was on the island.
Yes.
Right? I had a boyfriend who told me he used to run from across three settlements just to go and see his girlfriend, right? And it's something that he continued to do once he came to Nassau, running whenever he had the opportunity. So I just wondered if that sort of family island culture found a place in the running clubs in New Providence.
But before we transition, we want to go over all the information again. All the information again. This is the Bahamas Road Masters, right? And they have an event on June 7th, 2024. It's called Midnight Madness Run. And I'm going to let the president go all the details. Yeah. You go ahead.
So you can register online, or you can find us at BahamasRoadMasters@gmail.com. You can email us, or you can visit our website, BahamasRoadMasters.com. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Instagram.
What's the price? Don't forget me to tell
price. The price of the race is $20 per person. You can register online at active.com, or you can find us at Sports Center, Harbor Bay, or Sandyport this Saturday as well as next Saturday.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much. Go ahead, Mr. Johnson. Say something before you go.
No, I just want to thank both of you for entertaining us today, and we would like for you to come and join us.
Yeah, ma'am. I might definitely come on to spectate, but I'm going to speak to my wife so she can go and run. Yeah, she's now an active walker.
Okay.
Well, she can come and walk.
Yes, yeah, yes.
It promises to not disappoint.
Yes, this is Guardian Radio AM, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You see how Cora I look funny all black up yesterday?
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm is all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You doing something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So we're waiting on then. Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri. Just now we had the Bahamas Road Masters, and of course they're talking about their Midnight Madness Run, which is going to be happening on June 7th, 2024, and that's going to be at 12:01 in the morning, early morning. And of course they want all of us to come out there and participate with them. It's a fun walk, run, push type of thing, right? It's not that formal running. It's only $20. It's only $20, right? They have a charity that they're going to be giving part proceeds to, and I'm excited about that. And they have registration going on. You remember the place where they say register?
So every Saturday at Sports Center Harbor Bay and Sports Center Sandyport.
Yeah, and again, that's June 7th. But yesterday was Wednesday, we started our list with the cannabis. And see, I'm calling it by the correct name. And again, I plan to speak and go, or at least go over the entire list on Monday. But I wanted to continue to list the changes of the bill. And just so the listening audience who didn't have a chance to read the bill as yet can be aware of one of the two of the highlights. Right. And it's only the highlights we are highlighting. We started the list earlier, but we can see if we can run through the rest.
All right, so we're going to read from this article, Marijuana Bills Tabled in the Nassau Tribune, 16th of May, 24. And then in today's Tribune, I don't know if you want to check The Guardian, but today's Tribune, the headline is, "We're not there yet on recreational marijuana," which may be a great follow-up if we have enough time.
So let's make it clear that this is not recreational marijuana, and again, we're not there yet.
Right. And that proponents in this advocacy space are not using the language recreational cannabis, right? They're using the language adult use, not yes. recreational use.
So this is two terms. We're using medical marijuana and adult use, yeah. right? And adult use comes under what the...
Well, mind you, adult use is to talk about all use, right? But there is a particular... A license, it seems, that is now available for an individual license to consume as a sacrament.
Sacrament, that's what the word I was looking for.
All right, so...
So, again, the individual license for those people who want to use the marijuana as a sacrament.
Right.
Okay.
And then I'll read the exact language used. "The Bahamas moved closer to legalizing cannabis for medical and religious use, while decriminalizing... possession of small amounts of marijuana. The 11 bills were mainly identical to the ones the administration released for consultation last year. However, notable changes have been made to the religious use of cannabis and the role of pharmacists. The bill also discloses for the first time the cost of licenses under the cannabis regime. Initial license fees would range from $1,000 to $5,000, while annual license fees would range from $500 to $14,712, depending on the license type. Members of the Rastafarian community had criticized the previous draft bills for limiting cannabis use to a tabernacle or place of worship, with many practitioners saying it is uncommon for the substance to be used in such areas. Under the latest bills, people unaffiliated with a Rastafarian organization can get an individual license permitting them to consume cannabis in a secured area in a private residence as a sacrament." What I find interesting there, that it doesn't say, and of course we have to get into the bill itself, it doesn't say Rastafarians unaffiliated with a Rastafarian organization. It just says people unaffiliated. Rastafarian organizations must be incorporated as nonprofit organizations to obtain a religious organization license.
Repeat that again.
Rastafarian organizations must be incorporated as nonprofit organizations to obtain a religious organization license.
And we need to investigate what's the procedures to becoming a nonprofit. What fees, what expense comes with that?
And then what are the obligations or duties of the officers of the nonprofit? Is there a reporting duty? Do you have to
have an audit? An audit, bank account, all of
a
these
board,
things.
Yeah.
And minutes and board of directors. There's a number of things. I even think you have to pay $10,000.
No, I don't think it's $10,000.
No, I'm sure it's $10,000.
For non-profit organizations?
For non-profit. And only because I say that is because I remember I had to register one for the school. And they had to...
Can't cost $10,000.
Yeah. Maybe you can get a lawyer
there. The average NGO...
Mm-hmm. Remember, there was an issue with NGOs, and that's why they put it that high.
Yeah, but the issue with NGOs is unscrupulous actors who are being entertained by members of the political class coming here and pulling scams. Mm-hmm. That's different from small capacity.
We'll check on it. This
NGOs.
Is what type of bank account they need to have and for the registration.
Absolutely.
And how does it apply to Rastafarian groups who may be working class people?
Most grassroots organizations are made up of working class people. I'll continue from the article. Marijuana bills tabled, 16th of May. Rastafarians who get an individual license cannot use the substance in a public place, distribute, or sell it to another person, or possess more than 30 grams at any one time. Similar rules apply to Rastafarian organizations. Unlike the draft bills, the revised legislation guarantees a position on the Bahamas Cannabis Board to a member of the Rastafarian faith. That board would manage the Bahamas Cannabis Authority, overseeing all aspects of cannabis regulation, including creating policies, issuing licenses, and ensuring law compliance. The board would comprise representatives from government, medical, and pharmaceutical professions, agricultural, business, and finance sectors, academia, and the faith-based and civil society communities. The revised legislation allows medical practitioners to prescribe cannabis to patients from other countries without performing in-person medical assessments, as long as that patient presents a medical cannabis card from a recognized jurisdiction like Canada, Australia, Barbados, and several states in the United States of America. Under the cannabis regime, licenses include a cultivation license to permit the growing, harvesting, and packaging of cannabis, a transport license to deliver cannabis within the country, a manufacturing license for the manufacturing and packaging of cannabis and cannabis accessories, mm-hmm. a retail license to sell cannabis and cannabis accessories for medical, scientific research, and religious purposes, a religious license, and an analytical testing license. If we could stick a pin... Mm-hmm. there for a second. As we can see, the number of licenses available has expanded from the original five that was suggested or presented mm-hmm. in the initial media documentation around the issue. There were five. One, initially it included an export license. That's not being referenced anymore. Something that is new.
Are we exporting? Because I think this could be a local market.
Well, the point I'm making is in the initial conversations around the liberalization of cannabis, and in particular the creation of a cannabis industry, an export license was a part of the conversation. Hmm. Now, to have an export license means that you have to fulfill a whole bunch of obligations or criteria or requirements, not just in your country, in the country you're hoping to import to, or for them to receive your product. And so that may be too much for the administration to work out right now. But what I found interesting was that a retail license was not one of the original licenses mm-hmm. that was discussed. In fact, it says a retail license to sell cannabis and cannabis accessories for medical, scientific research, and religious purposes.
Interesting. But it seems to be there's going to be an independent board who's going to be responsible for the licensees, right? Mm-hmm. And responsible for patrolling and making sure everything, all the applications and things goes through. So that's interesting. And they have expanded how many people can participate in the selling of the medical marijuana. And of course, they have expanded the amount of person who can...
Well, when you say that, what do you mean expanded? Like
because they had set numbers or suggested set numbers. They had a suggested number of five. And now you see if it's go up to 12, who it possible can apply.
How do you make that determination? Because there are more licenses available?
Yeah. I mean, it has to be hashed out, but I mean, the wording suggests that it's more people than first.
Well, I think it's something that the government has to speak to and speak to clearly, right? Mm-hmm. I don't expect to hear any type of language that suggests that there's some things that we can't share because we're creating a new industry and we don't want to disadvantage those who are willing to invest in a new... I don't hear none of that secrecy talk. You are establishing a new industry in the country and you, the state, have an obligation to publish all of the information, all of the requirements, all of the criteria for selection.
You would say is missing.
How many licenses will be available
so you want to know the total amount
in each sector?
Hmm.
right? Because if I'm a player in the market, I want to know if I'm going to have a monopoly. I want to know if I'm going to have two competitors, potentially two competitors, or potentially 12 competitors. Mm. This is something, as a stakeholder in that capacity, as a regular citizen, I have the right to know.
But at this present time, we know that we have the pharmaceutical people are saying that they should have the whole right straight across the board. No one should have this retail right to sell medical products, right? So that conversation has to be continued to define who all will have access. Will it be the pharmaceutical pharmacies also? And then independent branches?
And this is a question we can put on the table for our conversation on Monday. How has the Pharmacy Act been amended? And how has the function, and mandate of the pharmaceutical sector changed with this amendment? What is it that the state is attempting to do?
Also, in terms of the Rastafarian organization, is there any registered Rastafarian organization currently?
Mm-hmm.
And how long does this registration
take? How long will it take?
Because, you know, some MPOs takes like 3, 4, 5 years before they get recognized by the Attorney General office and say, okay, you can do it.
Yeah, we're not going to play politics with this one.
Yeah. But if you just apply now, you expect it to take 2, 3, 4 years.
No.
Why not?
It
you can't just rush things. It takes 3, 4 years. If that's the standard.
It does not take 3 or 4 years to assess the validity of the documents presented by an NGO.
It might be a backlog.
Yeah, but then fire them.
Fire the backlog?
Fire the people who are responsible for the backlog.
And then rehire them and that takes another 3, 4, 5 years?
No, don't rehire them.
Don't do it.
If we remove and extract politics from the conversation, maybe it'll make sense.
There's no politics in the AG office. This is just standard.
We're not there yet on recreational marijuana. Mm. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said his administration decided now is the appropriate time for facilitating some recreational use. Oh, is not. Is not the appropriate. That's the moment I was cutting my eye at you. I guess you're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the appropriate time for facilitating some recreational use of cannabis, saying the only focus is legalizing marijuana for medicinal and religious purposes. The Davis administration tabled a compendium of bills in the House of Assembly last Wednesday. Once a controversial matter, permitting the drug to be used for recreational reasons in a limited way has been done in various jurisdictions. U.S. Virgin Islands in January 2023 authorized the recreational and sacramental use of marijuana for anyone 21 and older. Asked why the government has not taken a more aggressive approach, Mr. Davis said, "We're not there yet." I just want to say, Mr. Davis, well, then we ain't gonna ever be there, right?
Hmm. But what do you mean you can never be there? We're making strides. You see there's active strides happening in terms of 1 minute marijuana was illegal, and any minute now.
Okay, let me give you a different assessment on the why, right? In countries that have liberalized or decriminalized for recreational use or legalized for recreational use, what you see in the country,
mm-hmm.
what you see in the country is a shift in the policing and the policing culture around it.
You mentioned this recreational word again. I know why you mentioned this recreational
word. Because that's the word that was in the article. But let me make this point clearly. I'm tired of the Prime Minister saying we're not there yet. Just say the U.S. has not given us permission to do it yet.
The U.S. give everyone else permission.
Or better yet, say that the government is not prepared. The government is not prepared to divert the resources to the necessary agencies to ensure that we can create an environment where we can legalize adult cannabis. No, that's first of all, Mr. Nuri.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you to repeat what the Prime Minister is saying. I don't need the two of y'all talking foolishness today. What I'm saying is just be honest and say that we are not prepared to do the thing. We, the government, are not prepared to do the things necessary for the United States of America.
But why are you always bringing the U.S. in this?
Because they are always in it.
No, man. Our government has decided that they're going to pursue medical marijuana. That's where we are right now. Full stop.
Mr. Nuri. Mr. Nuri. I know it's your hour, and I know you got 3 seconds left. Right? But it's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
The government is not prepared to do what is required to create the environment in which the U.S. will endorse the legalization of adult use of cannabis.
I don't believe this is the United States issue. They have their own medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. So they're prepared to endorse
us. So OPBAT.
It's just that us, we are not prepared.
OPBAT is not an American issue.
I don't think it's an American issue. I just think
all of the resources and the programming that the U.S. has in collaboration with the Bahamas and Turks and Caicos, with other countries in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Just be honest, Prime Minister, because you got by them like C.A. Murray.
I think you put words in our Prime Minister's mouth.
I may be putting words in your mouth, but the Prime Minister knows what he's saying and what he's not
Prime
saying.
Prime Minister's doing an excellent job trying to facilitate this.
You know that.
This has been Guardian
Radio
with C.A. Murray. You just want to have them give you smoke weed. No smoking weed. It's not recreational. It's a sacrament.
They don't smoke dandelions.